So, reading today from the fourth canto, chapter number 29, chapter entitled Talks Between Narada and King Prachinabari, text number 57.
Samshayotratu me vipra, sanchinastat krito mahan, rishayopi hi muhyanti. Yatra nendriya vrittaya.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki chai. Translation. My dear Brahmana, there are contradictions between your instructions and those of my spiritual teachers who engaged me in fruitive activities. I now can understand the distinction between devotional service, knowledge, and renunciation. I had some doubts about them, but you have now very kindly dissipated all my doubts. I can now understand how even the great sages are bewildered by the real purpose of life. Of course, there is no question of sense gratification. Purport. King Barisman was engaged in different types of sacrifice for elevation to the heavenly planets. People generally are attracted by these activities, and very rarely is a person attracted to devotional service, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms. Unless one is very, very fortunate, he does not take to devotional service. Even the so-called learned Vedic scholars are bewildered by devotional service. They are generally attracted to the rituals for sense gratification. In devotional service, there is no sense gratification, but only transcendental loving service to the Lord. Consequently, the so-called priests engaged in sense gratification do not very much like devotional service. The Brahmanas, the priests, have been against this Krishna consciousness movement since it began with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started this movement, the priestly class lodged complaints to the Qazi, the magistrate of the Mohammedan government. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to lead a civil disobedience movement against the propaganda of the so-called followers of Vedic principles. These people are described as Karma Jada Smartas, which indicates that they are priests engaged in ritualistic ceremonies. It is here stated that such people become bewildered. Vishayo Pihi Muhyanti. To save oneself from the hands of this Karma Jada Smartas, one should strictly follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma suchaha.
Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. Bhagavad Gita 18.66. So, taking the blessings of all the Vaishnavas over here, we'll try to discuss about the transcendental activities of, as related in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, we are continuing our discussions between Narada Muni and King Prachinabari, and we have now come to the state where King Prachinabarishat is telling Narad Muni that I am now able to distinguish between fruitive activities and devotional service. And in this purport, Srila Prabhupada makes some very beautiful statements. So just taking three of the statements, we'll try and see how devotional service is far, far superior to activities that are done otherwise. The first statement that Srila Prabhupada makes over here is, unless one is very, very fortunate, he does not take to devotional service. And we see over here, King Prachinabarishat, although he was a very exalted king, because he was in the position of being able to control so many of his subjects. He had some or the other fallen away from the path of devotional service, and he was continuously engaging in fruitive activities. And it required a spiritual master like Narad Muni to come and preach to him, to open his eyes to what is the real goal of this human form of life. In the scriptures we see several instances where great sages, munis, tapasvis, when they come into contact with the pure devotee of the Lord, their heart undergoes a transformation. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have this pastime of Prakashananda Saraswati, a very great Mayavadi scholar based in Varanasi, and it is described that he had 60,000 disciples. And he was preaching this Mayavad philosophy. In fact, at that time, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Varanasi was supposed to be the seat of Mayavadi learning. All the high priests of Mayavad philosophy were located in Varanasi. And Prakashananda Saraswati was the king, the scholar of the scholars. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Varanasi, through the effort of a Maharashtrian Brahman who could recognize that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he arranged for a meeting between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prakashananda Saraswati. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this assembly where Prakashananda Saraswati was seated with his disciples, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately took a very humble position. He went to the place where people would normally wash their feet. He washed his feet over there and sat down over there. And all these great scholars were sitting on elevated positions. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started emanating his Brahman effulgence. Prakashananda Saraswati, when he saw this effulgence that was coming out from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he got up and came to the place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting and told him, "Sir, how can you be sitting over here? This is not the place fit for you. You should come and occupy this high seat." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to exemplify this particular quality of Trinadapi Sunichena. So he told Prakashananda Saraswati, in fact Prakashananda Saraswati told him that, "Actually you belong to our school. How is it that you are going around like a sentimental person chanting this mantra that you are chanting? You should be actually preaching whatever philosophy we are preaching." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that, "My dear sir, I'm sorry that I don't have any qualification. Actually, my spiritual master considers me to be a fool. And he has told me this Vedanta philosophy is not for you. You should just chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and that will be adequate for you." So Prakashananda Saraswati's heart was touched by the humility of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then there was a great discussion between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prakashananda Saraswati. And during the course of the discussion, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu completely defeated this philosophy of Prakashananda Saraswati. Smashed it to bits. And then later on, Prakashananda Saraswati with all his disciples surrendered to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So dry philosophy is something that doesn't touch your heart. What is required is the existence of a relationship. And it is that relationship which motivates us to practice devotional service. And Vaishnava philosophy is nothing but that, the existence of a relationship between God and his devotee, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his Bhakta. So that is Vaishnava philosophy. Whereas Mayavadis preach that the ultimate goal of life is to merge into the existence of the Lord or to become one with the Lord. But this doesn't touch the heart. It is very nice for us to be engaging in mental gymnastics with this Mayavad philosophy. But finally, if we want to sustain ourselves in devotional service, we need to have very intense relationship, not only with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but also with His devotees. So we see how this Mayavadi philosophers very, very subtly, even though they might be approaching Vaishnavas, we had this realization when we were in Badrinath recently. The Mahant of the Badrinath temple came to our to the place where Katha was going on, and we had requested him to speak. Dharmadikari Maharaj, practicing spiritualism for the last 33 years. In fact, he was the head priest of the Badrinath temple, the place where Nara and Narayan are even today practicing austerities. And during the course of his discourse, he spoke to us for about 45-50 minutes. Very, very subtly, he was propagating his Mayavad philosophy. Apparently, even to me, it appeared as if he was talking very high Vaishnava philosophy. But just that, later on when I was discussing with Govind Prabhu, and he was telling me that so many words that he introduced into his discussion, which clearly one could make out that he was actually a Mayavad philosopher. And then one wonders, how is it that a person who is worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead in a place like Badrinath, which is supposed to be one of the most potent place, he says, in fact he was saying during the course of his discourse, that this is a place of tapasya. This is the place where tapasvis come and perform intense austerities. But intense austerities for what purpose? Finally, you realize during the from his talk that whatever he is preaching in terms of austerities has only one goal. Either to become Lord Narayan himself or to become one with Lord Narayan. That service spirit, that serving, which is so essential to build that relationship, is absent. So, these people are not able to taste the nectar of devotional service. As Srila Prabhupada would say, it's like a person licking the external bottle of honey from outside. You just lick the bottle from a bottle of honey from outside. How would you be able to find out what is the taste of honey? You won't be able to get the rasa of that relationship, which is so vital to sustain us in our spiritual life. In fact, Srila Prabhupada would say that the ultimate goal of this Mayavad philosopher is no doubt to merge into the Brahman effulgence or to become one with the Lord. But then finally he has to come down into this material world. So after understanding so many things about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, after worshipping Him so intensely, you go to the heavenly planets and then you come back. What is the purpose? Alternatively, Lord Krishna tells us in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha. Tatva deham punar janma naiti maameti so Arjuna. Just by understanding the glories of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, at the time of departure, we don't have to come back into this material world again. This philosophy is so easy for us to understand. Instead of concocting a philosophy which is so difficult, and yet we find that there are so many millions and millions of people who are basically propagating this philosophy, following this philosophy, applying it in their lives and thinking that this is the perfection of their lives. So the statement that Prabhupada makes over here is actually very true. Because how many people do we really come across who are practicing pure devotional service? Very, very few. In fact, Lord Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita that it is expected that a person who comes to this path is actually very, very rare. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye. Yatatam api siddhanam kaschid mahamveti tatvataha. One out of thousand will come to this path, and out of such thousands of such people, one will really be able to realize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and worship Him as such. So Krishna consciousness is not for everybody in one sense. It's easier to be following what the masses are following. And there are millions of people who are propagating this Mayavad philosophy. One thinks that, yes, what they are doing is right. But of course, when he comes into contact with a devotee, with a pure devotee practicing Krishna consciousness, then he is put onto the right track. So the scriptures have got several pastimes which tell us about the wonderful relationship that is there between the Lord and his devotees. So one such pastime is that of Vamandev and Bali Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj was a king of all the three worlds. And Vamandev came to him and asked him for 3 steps of land. The spiritual master of Bali Maharaj told Bali Maharaj that, please, although you have made this promise to give him whatever he wanted, you can retract your promise. You can take it back. Because a person, when his property is in danger, when his life is in danger, he did not adhere to his promises. He did not adhere to his commitments. But Bali Maharaj said, no, once I have already given my commitment, once I have already given my word, it doesn't matter what it costs me. And the Lord was so impressed with the surrender of Bali Maharaj. After taking away everything, whatever he had, the Lord asked him, now you tell me what you want. Ask me for a benediction. Ask me for a boon. What do you want? Bali Maharaj said, my dear Lord, I don't need anything. I'm fully satisfied just by having an opportunity to be able to serve you. So we see over here a person from whom everything is being taken away. Actually a demon. A person who has taken birth in the Asura family. At the time when everything is taken away, he has the realization that, my dear Lord, I am just happy because you have given me an opportunity to serve you. And then the Lord tells him that I am so pleased with your endeavor, I am so pleased with your surrender, that in that planet where you would be ruling, I shall come as your doorkeeper. And even today, the Lord is performing this menial service for his devotee. Just goes to show how potent devotional services. If we surrender everything to the Lord gives us infinitely millions of times more. It is just that we lack that particular faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we think that, how can we surrender everything? Like Srila Prabhupada, at the age of 70, when he went abroad to US, to a place that he had absolutely nobody to welcome him. On the way, he suffered so many heart attacks. He was so sick. In fact, an old man with so many health problems. At that age, he decided to cross across and go to US. Nobody to receive him. Only because he had received this instruction from his spiritual master so many years back. But 40 years back. That became the mission of his life. And every time Srila Prabhupada would be asked, or rather would be told, that whatever you have achieved, Srila Prabhupada, by your endeavor, and Srila Prabhupada be glorified for this, he would immediately say that whatever has happened by the mercy of my spiritual master. He would give all credit to his spiritual master. Heart of heart, sincerely, from the bottom of his heart, he would really feel that I am such an unqualified person. What is my qualification? It is just that my spiritual master had expressed a desire that I should be spreading the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the English language all over the world. And only by his desire, only by his causeless mercy has this become possible. So when a person has completely surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord, he gets this realization that actually he is not the doer. It is by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, it is by the mercy of the spiritual master, that whatever I am able to do, I am doing. I don't have any qualification. And this is something that an advanced devotee of the Lord always meditates upon. It is not that only during classes he says this. There's a constant meditation within his heart that yes, whatever I have achieved has happened by the mercy of the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. So the second statement that Srila Prabhupada mentions over here, in devotional service there is no sense gratification, there is only transcendental loving service to the Lord and his devotees. Such an important statement. And we see from the life of a devotee like Kolavecha Sridhar, even if he wanted to gratify his senses, he had no facilities. Absolutely downtrodden, pathetically poverty stricken. To such an extent that when he would be crying out the holy names of the Lord in the middle of the night, all the people from Navadvip, whoever would be his immediate neighbors, would be throwing vegetables at him and telling him, yes, now you please shut up. It looks like because you are so hungry that you are crying out like this. Take these vegetables and eat it. And for God's sake, allow us to go to sleep. And he was a person with whom Nimai Pandit would be spending 2 hours every day discussing about the price of this banana leaves. Supreme Personality of Godhead knew that Kolavecha Sridhar's prices of banana leaves were the lowest in the market. And in spite of that, for 2 hours he would be spending every day. And then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Kolavecha Sridhar, please ask me for any benediction, ask me for anything, I can give you the 8 mystical siddhis. Kolavecha Sridhar said, my dear Lord, I want nothing from you. The only thing that I desire is that I should be always having this pastime of you coming and arguing with me for the price of this banana leaves, always in my heart, always in my mind. That is the only benediction that I desire from you. There is no question of sense gratification. For a devotee, whatever he does for the purpose of satisfying Krishna's senses. So apparently we might be thinking that devotees are externally manifesting propensities to gratify their senses. But in the eyes of the Lord, if he is a surrendered devotee, then really whatever he is doing is actually devotional service. Chaitanya Charitamrita, again we have this pastime of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. When Gadadhar Pandit and Mukunda went there into the house of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Pundarik Vidyanidhi was lying down on a very, very opulent bed. He was being fanned by Matajis. He was having a very elegantly attired body, beautiful makeup. He was chewing betel leaves. His hair was very beautifully arranged. And Gadadhar Pandit was thinking to himself, how could Mukunda ever bring me to this place? How could this person ever be a devotee? What to talk about advanced devotee? And Mukunda could read Gadadhar Pandit's mind. And the moment Mukunda started narrating these pastimes from Srimad Bhagavatam about the glories of Krishna, given the position of a mother to Putana, Pundarik Vidyanidhi went into such ecstasy. For 6 hours, nobody could even hold him. Required 4, 4, 6, 6 people in order to just hold Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And all those beautiful, beautiful artifacts that were there at home, in his house, mirrors, everything was smashed to bits. And then Gadadhar Pandit realized, my God, what a great fool have I been. Just thinking that this person is a mundane sense gratifier. And then Gadadhar Pandit took initiation from Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So external manifestations of a devotee who superficially may be acting as if he is living in very opulent surroundings. We have got no right to make any judgments. Even in our mind, thinking that such a devotee may be actually gratifying his senses. Because the relationship that he enjoys with Lord Krishna, we may not be able to fathom. We may not be able to understand. And we would be actually committing so much of Vaishnava Prad to be even thinking wrong about a devotee who by Krishna's arrangement has been given facilities to lead a comfortable life. The last statement that Srila Prabhupada, that I have picked up over here, is these people are described as karma jada smarthas, which indicates that they are priests engaged in ritualistic ceremonies. So Srila Prabhupada describes over here who are this karma jada smarthas. Basically, externally they look as if they are brahmanas performing various rituals. But actually, we have to understand that these are mundane ritualistic activities. And Srila Prabhupada gives over here the example of how people at the time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was propagating this Hare Krishna movement 500 years back, this person by the name Chankazi was so much against Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he was afraid that his position would be endangered. And because of that, he set out, he told his Mohammedan soldiers to threaten the devotees. And on one such occasion, a drum was broken. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so furious. He said that today we will go, all of us, to the house of Chandkazi. Let us assemble all the people of Navadvip. And then in the evening we will march towards the house of Chandkazi. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went over there with millions and millions of his followers. And of course, it's a long story how Chandkazi was reformed. His heart was transformed just by the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in Mayapur, even today, when we go, we find, we are told that the descendants of Chandkazi are very favorable towards the devotees. The others may have some problems, some differences of opinions with us, but as far as the, of course, they are Dhamvasis, even though they might be belonging to a different community. They are very special souls. The fact that they have taken birth in Navadvip Dham, which is eternal, which never gets annihilated when this material world is annihilated. So they are very special people. But still, they have some difference of opinion with us. But as far as the descendants of Chandkazi are concerned, they are still very, very favorable to us, favorable to the devotees. So ritualistic ceremonies which are done for as part of our fruitive activities, really, Krishna teaches us again through this example of the Brahmana wives, the wives of the Brahmanas. The Brahmanas were engaged in a great yajna, and Krishna and Balaram in the forest of Vrindavan with the cowherd boys suddenly became hungry. The boys became hungry and then they came to Krishna and asked him, please arrange some prasad for us. And then Krishna told one of his friends that you go to this place where this yajna is being conducted and you go and ask this Brahmana boys to give you some prasad. So these boys went over there, and when they approached the Brahmanas, they were told, how dare you ask? Don't you see that this yajna is going on? Unless and until we complete the yajna, how can we ever think about giving you anything? So these boys were disappointed. And then they came back to Krishna. And then Krishna told them, don't worry. Go to the wives of the Brahmanas. And you see what their reaction is. And when these boys went to the wives of the Brahmanas, immediately they were welcomed so nicely. And these Brahmana ladies, they went and arranged for whatever prasad was possible for them to arrange. And gave so much of prasad to the boys. So this itself shows that how great, if we are great scholars, then we really miss out on the essence. What is the goal of life is to please Krishna. And here we are having an opportunity to be pleasing Krishna directly. And then we say, no, we are doing great yajnas. And unless and until the yajna is completed, we can't. The whole purpose of doing that yajna was to please Vishnu or Krishna. And when Krishna manifests himself over there, asking for some prasad, they say, no, we cannot give this to you. Whereas the Brahmana ladies who are actually not well educated, they don't know the Shastra so well, they don't know to quote big shlokas. But then they realize, yes, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and He is the person who is actually the one that we have to please. So finally, Srila Prabhupada says over here, to save oneself from the hands of this karma, jada, smarthas, one should strictly follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarva dharman parityajya maam ekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishyami masucha. Just surrender unto me. Surrender unto me, of course, means not necessarily only to the spiritual, Supreme Personality of Godhead, but to the spiritual master, to the Vaishnavas. Because Lord Krishna is pleased when we serve the Vaishnavas. He is more pleased when we serve the Vaishnavas than when we serve Him directly. So we have to understand that it is not just worshipping the form of the Lord that pleases the Lord. Of course, that is also one of the essential ingredients of devotional service. But if you miss out the point of associating with devotees in the mood of servant of the servant of the servant, and just think that worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead would be giving us the desired results, then this is incomplete realization. And this does not please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thank you very much. Are there any comments? Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.